Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blissful Living. This is the Queen of Feeling Fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson, and I have a really good, intriguing show for you today. Everyone has curiosity about our millennials, and they do operate at their own beat and walk to the beat of their own drum, so to speak. And so this curiosity about this new generation of young people has got a lot of people perplexed and has got a lot of people wondering what happened or if something happened or what's going on and why aren't they following the things that we were told to do and that we followed. But I'm here to share with you today that today's show is going to enlighten you about the millennials and what they think and how they feel and how they're coming across and how they're showing up in the world and taking claim to what they know belongs to them. And so that's to pique your curiosity. Today's show is definitely going to enlighten us and educate us about the millennials and how they think. But first of all, before we get into the show and before I tell you about my phenomenal guest that I have on today's show, I want to first of all thank one of the sponsors of our show, which is the Health Healing and Wellness Company. And the Health Healing and Wellness Company is a holistic and natural wellness company. They know that a natural and holistic path to well-being is the best path to well-being because it encompasses the well-being of the whole being instead of just individual parts of the person. Now, they also know that when you have a balanced mind, body, and spirit, optimal health and well-being is right at your fingertips. So they do wonderful things such as luxury wellness retreats, luxury wellness VIP day, customized luxurious body therapies, customized wellness plans of care for individuals and small to mid-sized companies, just to name a few. So if you have problems with sleeping, you lack energy, you have a foggy brain, you just don't feel as vital as you once felt when you were maybe in your 20s and now you're a little bit older than that, I highly suggest that you check out the Health Healing and Wellness Company at healthhealingwellness.com. The next sponsor of today's show is a telecommunications installation company that has been in existence for over 26 years. And in today's way of doing business, that's absolutely phenomenal because we've had lots of ups and downs with regards to the dot-com bust and the real estate fiasco and just a lot of things that affect how and what we do with regards to the construction aspect of business. But the company All Day Cable Inc. has shown perseverance and wherewithal, and they still exist after all the ups and downs of the economy. They are a telecommunications installation company that specializes in installing voice, data, and fiber optic wireless and wireless systems, to name a few. They keep the backbone of your network operating so that you don't have any hiccups or glitches or communication problems, say, when you're closing that big multi-million dollar deal. Telecommunications is very important, and we are so dependent upon it today that you need your stuff to be operating 24/7. And at All Day Cable, their motto is they make the right connections. So if you have a need, please check out alldaycableinc.com. Again, that is alldaycableinc.com. And lastly, before we get into today's superstar guest, and yes, I said guest because there's two guests, I want to share with you a recommended reading book. It's on our site. You can click on the link to this book and go directly to the book. It is Teachings from God, Greeting Your Soul and Revealing the Divine Within by Courtney Onmanson. She wrote this book when she was a teenager, and she's probably just maybe 20 or 21 right now, again, part of that millennial generation, and her desire to know more about what was coming through to her from the divine as far as information led her on this journey to write this book. So it is one of our recommended books on the site, Blissful Living. Go ahead and check it out. You can click the link and it'll get you directly to Courtney's book. Okay, so now let's get into the show. I want to tell you about my guests today. They are two phenomenally beautiful young women that are highly passionate very positive and really accomplished for their young ages. The first one is Lauren Alexis Marie Lawson, and the next beautiful young lady is named Alyssa Kelly. These young ladies are definitely millennials. They are both, I don't want to give their age, but I'm just going to say they're definitely millennials. So let me tell you about them. Now, Lauren is an educated and motivated human rights activist, and she's up and coming in the world. She recently graduated from California State University, Northridge, with honors, with a BA degree in political sciences with an emphasis in law and society. Now, Lauren's developed a strong sense of interest and concern for human rights at a very young age. And during her high school years, Ms. Lawson became passionate about civil rights and wanted to pursue a career that would leave a lasting imprint for future generations to come. Lauren wants to change the world and shed light on the importance of love, respect for one another, and equality. And Lauren's mission is to become an inspiration, a teacher, and a friend to everyone she encounters in this lifetime. That's our millennial number one. Now, our second guest, our second millennial, let me tell you about Alyssa Kelly. Alyssa Kelly is currently studying and finishing up her studies at California State University, Northridge. She is studying in the discipline of psychology. She is passionate about life and the evolution of consciousness on our planet, and she hopes for this in this lifetime. Wait a minute. All she hopes for in this lifetime is to fulfill her purpose and to bring love and light to each person or thing she encounters while she's here on Earth. I say that she says, I will give my gifts and my light to the world through my passions of writing, speaking, and hopes to help others in any and every way that I can. So there you have it, our two guests for today, two very accomplished, very positive, very outgoing, very beautiful young women that are here to enlighten us about this new intriguing generation of folks that we call the millennials. So ladies, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you. I'm so excited.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for having us.
I'm very welcome. There's so many people that are going to want to hear what you guys have to share. And this is the perfect time for us to do this because there is a lot of intrigue about the millennials and just you guys do. You really do walk to your own beat and you make the beat of your own drum flow for you. And so that has a lot of people stumped and a lot of people perplexed, but I know you guys will enlighten us. So if you are out there listening, you want to probably sit down in a comfortable chair, prop your feet up, maybe, you know, have something to write with. You might want to take notes because if you're a parent of a millennial, this might help you to understand them and your relationships with the millennials around you just a little bit more. Maybe get you a nice beverage or whatever and just really enjoy the essence of this show because these girls are going to really bring some positive information and positive light that is going to be really beneficial for the world to hear. So I just want to jump in, girls, now, or ladies. Both of you have very busy schedules, and, you know, with the way things are today, particularly, you know, with working and going to school and trying to make your mark in the world, how do you manage the stresses in your life? And I guess I'll direct it. Let's start with you first, Lauren, and then we'll have Alyssa share her insight as well.
Well, I believe that peace of mind is very important, especially in the times that we're living in today. I find it very important that we make time for ourselves, even if we are working a 9-to-6 job, we still have to make time for ourselves and make time for our goals that we want to accomplish. I personally like to meditate, or I will take time to myself and drive to the beach, drive to places that make me happy where there's not a lot going on. To take my mind off of things, I'll turn my phone off or I'll listen to like some of my favorite musicians and just relax and escape the world for a little bit because there's so much chaos going on. It's important to keep your space and your head clear free from all the negative thoughts and negative energy that will be, influenced by your surroundings. So it's important to keep that peace of mind.
So basically, say you just kind of have moments throughout, you know, when you're feeling like the stress is just getting to be a little bit too much, you have moments or places where you can go to basically check out of the negativity that's surrounding you and check into the positivity that's within you and that might be in nature.
Exactly.
Perfect. Now, Lissa, give us some of your thoughts. How did you manage the stresses in life?
Kind of going off of what Lauren said, I do think that what she said about peace of mind is very important and about how, like, we pick up on a lot of the negative energy, whether it's coming from people or situations throughout the day. When you're busy, I feel like it's really important to always take that time where you're going and being just in your own space with yourself and just allowing your head to kind of declutter the unclear, energy or whatever you may have had going on throughout your week or your day. And so for me, I do think that it's very important to have a clear mind to be able to be connected to your higher self, mm-hmm. As well, because I think if you have those blockages in you and, you're stressed and, you have negativity around you, then it's just so hard to operate to your highest potential. So I would agree with Lauren in the sense of, like, really finding time to get, time to yourself, to be just with your own energy and your own space, and to kind of just, relax and have that peace mm-hmm. of mind so you can work to your highest or be at your best potential always.
I love it. I love how you guys really said just been really taking time for yourself. And you guys live in a generation where, technology just came to the forefront when you guys were little, and it just really has bombarded everything that everyone does nowadays. And so, how Lauren mentioned, turning off the phone, and how you mentioned just being with yourself, I think shares a message with a lot of people out there that are in a different generation older than you that have not been able to do that or have not realized that that is something that you can do. And it's okay to do that for a little while, because what you're doing is really checking in with yourself and really giving yourself a gift of love that's going to be actually more beneficial to you in the long run. Now, how did you ladies come about knowing that's something, basically taking time for yourself in the midst of chaos and being with yourself and closing basically your mind's eye to the chaos or negativity around you? How did you ladies learn how to do that in a generation where everybody operates with regards to utilizing their technology 24/7?
Well, for me, I think that, and this is Alyssa, by the way, I think when you, as you grow up, you encounter different, like, challenges, different struggles, and then there comes a point where you're around our age, where you're, in the college, kind of, you're not a kid anymore, but you're becoming an adult, and I think that there just comes this point where you realize that there is just so much more to live for than these material things in this world and our social media and even our relationships or whatever it may be that's, like, three-dimensional to us. I just think mm-hmm. that there comes a point when you're growing up where you realize that you have to take care of yourself and love yourself in order to really be anything positive for the world or to even mm-hmm. operate in this society, because if you're so detached from your higher self or, what is beyond this 3D existence, then I just think it becomes very difficult to be happy in this world. So I think I would say for me, it's like kind of digging for something deeper and realizing that I am an energy and a spirit, I'm a human being that needs to have that time to myself that's outside of just this material world where I'm really just clearing my space and my mind.
I like it. I like it. And Lauren, do you have anything you want to add to that?
I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question?
So basically I was like, in today's society, as you guys were growing up, you're bombarded by technology and stuff. How did you get to the place of where you are today to understand that in order to be the best that you can be for yourself and those that you love and care around you in the midst of chaos, it's okay to take time out to be with yourself and to check out of the social media 24/7 world once in a while. It's okay. Because, I mean, that, you know, you don't see that. And so for you two to say, you know, we're in that world. We grew up with this technology, but we've learned, we've come to a point where we realize we can step away from the technology, and it's okay. How did you get to that place? I mean,
I think that when you've hit a low point in your life and you feel that you don't know what you're waking up for every day, you're unsure about what's your purpose here? Like, is there any meaning to my life? And I feel like everyone has those questions, whether they think about them daily or whether it hits them at a low point. And I think that with the way media and technology is set up today and how it's expanded, it's in every country, we're exposed to so much around the world, and it's necessarily not always something positive. When you turn on the news, you see a bunch of murders overseas, you see people getting killed, there's never anything positive anymore. Mm-hmm. So I feel it's important to separate yourself from Twitter, Instagram. It's a lot of negative stuff that people are posting, and to clear your space, you have to realize, where is this negativity coming from? What's contributing to this part in my life that's making me think this way or making me feel this way? And when you separate yourself and you think of yourself as a separate entity, it really helps clear your head, and it really, you know, mm-hmm. you have to learn to separate yourself from whatever is giving you that negative vibe, that negative whatever it may be. You have to separate yourself from that, and you have to learn mm-hmm. that, you know, putting down the phone necessarily isn't always a bad thing, or turning off the TV and just, you know, really getting in tune with yourself is important, especially in times like today where there's just so much negative things going on all around the world, not only in America, but everywhere.
So I'm glad you mentioned the negative, because there is a ton of negative stuff. You know, the media doesn't really portray anything positive. They don't show positive stories. It's all about negative stuff. So because we have this world now that we can see globally at any time, and there's so many people in a negative state, what do you see is the cause of this? Do you think it's always existed like this and we just see it more now because we can? Or do you think it what we're portraying is causing more of the negativity or the negative stuff to happen in the world?
I personally, this is Lauren, mm-hmm. I believe that it could definitely be a combination of both. You know, because you have the media who portrays what they want us to see and what they mm-hmm. want us to hear. And that's not by our choice. We choose to tune in and we choose to watch. But it's ultimately up to the decision makers of the people at the top who decide what to put on TV. They decide what's news. And,
right.
you know, with technology and us being able to see everything around the world, I definitely think that technology is not a terrible thing. Otherwise, we wouldn't know what was going on. You know, it's like,
mm-hmm.
if you think back to the 60s, people weren't unaware of the fact of how bad race relations were in the United States until we started giving international coverage in magazines. And they were like, there's people, you know, being blown away by fire hoses and stuff. So I definitely think that technology has a negative impact on society, but it can also have a positive impact, because we would be so unaware of the fact if the internet didn't exist, if there wasn't, you know, TVs and, you know, all this other stuff that we have today. It makes it communication faster, whereas you would have to wait till the next day to print a newspaper, or people would have to wait till the next day to find out what was going on the day before. Whereas
right.
now, within milliseconds, you're able to see, oh, there was a shooting, or oh, there was this, there was that. So yeah, I definitely think it's a combination of the both. I think that, you know, with having these outlets and these media outlets, it's easier for us to see the negativity, but I definitely think that it's always existed, because, you know, we're human beings. It's part of our nature to, you know, go off of the energy of what we receive. And
right.
I think it's just more widespread now that we have these media outlets and communication.
Do you think that the negative energy from all the stuff that we're seeing in the media is adding? I want to say, well, I guess you kind of already answered that. Never mind. I was going to say, do you think that all the negativity that we're exposed to actually fuels fire for more negativity? But that was already, you already kind of answered that. Now, I'm going to direct this part of the question to Alyssa. Alyssa, so we have this negative stuff, and Lauren says, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword, you know, because we have it and we can see it. Yeah, we see more of it, and it may be adding to the more negative energy of fueling the fire, so to speak, to that because we're able to see it more. But then also the other part is because we can see it more, we are more aware of the horrible things that are happening not only in the United States but around the world with people that we may have not been able, that we weren't able to see, you know, in past decades because, you know, it got muddled or by the time the story came out, it, you know, it happened weeks ago or, you know, it's already a moot point because something else was happening. So, Alyssa, what do you see possibly is the cure for us turning all this negative energy around into more positive, on shifting the pendulum from negative to the more positive side? What do you see as a cure for that?
I think that once our society can, like I said, you know, with what I'm very passionate about the evolution of our consciousness, and I think that if this society can become, you know, a universe of people that are aware and have real awareness for what is going on in the world and can understand that wherever our focus point is as a human race, as a people, wherever we focus, wherever you put your attention, wherever your energy goes, that's what you get back. So as a society, there needs to be more people that are trying to bring light and positivity and shine light where there is positivity, because if you have a news and a media outlet, whether it's, you know, Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever it is, if you have all of these things always headlining these, you know, sometimes you see positive stuff. And I think more so lately as the world is waking up, you're starting to see more of the positive. But I think that still the main focus points are always, you know, on the negative things that are happening and all the things we should be afraid of. And that's part of what I believe as a person. I think that it's kind of been set up a certain way to where, you know, there's kind of this wanting of fear to be instilled in us. And if we are fearful human beings and if we have fearful energy, that just creates more of the negative energy. So It's kind of like a cycle to me where I think once we break the cycle and we can have an awareness on this planet for the fact that, you know, things are kind of in a divine order and happening synchronistically. And I think once people can become aware of that, I don't think people will focus as much on fear and negativity because they will be aware that when you focus on that, that is what you are bringing to the world.
Oh, I love it. Thanks. That's beautiful. It's a great message. For those of you guys out there listening, this is a really great message and, you know, focusing more positive energy on the negative, and eventually, yeah, negative energy may is more heavier, it's more easily attracted to us, but when we collaboratively focus our positive energy together on various issues and things that we see that are negatively happening in the world, our positive energy will begin to turn that negative energy more towards the positive side, or swinging that pendulum from negative more positive. It's going to take time, it's going to take effort, and it's going to take all of us to do it, but it definitely can be done. So thank you for sharing both sides of that question, ladies. Now, you two are really divinely positive and always have been, and you know, seem to be really enlightened beings that are here with us. But also I see this a lot in just, you know, young people that are in your age group. What I want to ask you is, when did you realize that you were an enlightened being?
Should I go first?
Go ahead, Alyssa.
Okay. I think for me, as with a lot of other people, and I think people just aren't always as aware of the fact that, you know, so many people are so caught up in, like, their own problems or what's going on with themselves, they forget that we are all going through so many different things that are very deep as well. And so I think for me, when I really, like, took a look at my life and, like, kind of what Lauren said earlier, when you hit certain lows or you come to this sort of space where you feel unfulfilled or you feel kind of like you're waking up every day wondering, what am I really here for? Like, what, you know, you can see sometimes the light you're bringing. You can see kind of why you're here. You know you love your family. You know you love your friends. But it's kind of this bigger thing that you're searching for, this kind of like wholeness. And I think for me, when I hit certain lows in my life, I really, really dug deep. And I know, you know, they always say, like, you have to go within and you have to find the strength in yourself. I think that by searching for something within myself and trying to find love and light within myself, I just really think that I started to experience things bigger than me and things mm-hmm. that are unexplainable by words, where you start to find your purpose by just simply wanting to look for it. And then I think with that, you just become more enlightened every day. And my favorite quote will always be the Maya Angelou quote of, when you know better, you do better. And I think there's a point where you just start to accept your flaws and accept, like, where you can grow in the world and where maybe you haven't been the best person. And you don't look at it with shame and guilt. You just look at yourself and you're like, okay, I want to be more than this, and I want to be connected to something bigger than me. And then I think when that happens, that's when enlightenment begins. And I think it grows from there.
Wow. Thank you. I love that. I love that quote.
You're welcome.
Maya Angelou as well is, you know, when you say it again, Alyssa.
When you know better, you do better.
Yeah, when you know better, you do better. How many of us can attest to that are not in the millennial generation, but know better and didn't do better and know better and still didn't do better? And then it's like, oh, now I know better, I should do better. So that's a beautiful quote. Okay, Lauren, give us your take on, when did you realize that, you know, you're this millennial, but, you know, you're walking to the beat of your own drum, but... When did you realize that you were enlightened?
Well,
or
I've always
become enlightened, so to speak.
I feel like I'm a type of child who questioned everything. From my parents, when they would tell me things, I wanted to know why. In school, they would tell me things, teach me stuff about United States history, world history, and I wanted to know why are things this way? And so when I was in high school, I became really interested in government and just politics in general. And I guess that's essentially how the world works, because we have governing systems everywhere. There's not one place where you're just truly a free entity living, doing what you want to do. You know, like, there's no place like that. So when I would sit in class, political science classes, I never was really much of a talker. I was always much of a listener in the classes, just because I like to take in what other people think before I say how I'm feeling. And I noticed that a lot of people in my classes, in political science classes, were realists. And they didn't necessarily look at things from a different perspective. They only were looking at things from what was right in front of them. And it's like, not everything in life is given to you in an answer that's right there for you. You have to look deeper and you have to search for meaning and why things are the way they are. And so I feel like my mom, she always was a very positive person, and she always influenced me and definitely got me thinking about things in a different light. But then it came to a point where I was just tired of being sad. I was tired of waking up and not being happy, you know? And I was like, why can't I be happy right now? Like, what's going on inside me that I can't figure out where this negativity or this sadness is stemming from? And then I realized, well, these are emotions and happiness is a choice. Like I choose to be happy. I started reading a lot more, started to read, you know, different books. I don't know if anyone's read The Secret, but that book and The Four Agreements, and just started really trying to work on myself. Because, you know, the health of yourself is very important. If you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be here for much longer, whether it be stress or your health in general, being sick, working out. So I guess I stopped looking for happiness in things and, you know, a boyfriend or the next job. I, like, started to look for happiness for where I was at that exact moment. And I realized, like, I can be whatever I want to be. I just have to be it. It's as simple as just being. The word be, I don't think a lot of people realize that you just have to be something. Right. And, you know, I live with Alyssa, and I think that we both have such similar ways of how we look at life, but it's also very different. So when you live with someone who also believes in the same things that you do, it makes it easier to make for conversations mm-hmm. about the world and how to fix the world and how to, you know, we're
right.
both very caring individuals. We care about others. We're mm-hmm. very empathetic. It's always easier for us to put ourselves in other people's shoes and look at, you know, situations from the outside in. And I think that, you know, it also helped because when you start researching things, you realize, wow, a lot of people answers here, like, in such simpler terms than what I'm trying to come up with. And I, you know, and then it just hit
right.
me one day, like, this is the way the world is. And this is, if you want to change it, you have to spread more love. There's not enough love here. There's not enough love.
And I think
that's given enough love.
Just what you said right there, I think, is so important about the love and just being that love, because they do always say too that in order to bring love to others, you have to be love yourself. So
oh,
if you're not
that's beautiful.
Happy with yourself, like what Lauren's saying, and you're not, you know, like in that love vibration yourself, how are you ever going to help the world and help others?
That's so true. You know, you guys are both, you're saying it really starts with you. Like, Lauren, you just have to be, and Liz, there's just got to be positive. And the whole concept of that intermining or intertangling together is the foundation is love. And that's beautiful, because there isn't a lot there, you know, there's love, but there needs to be a lot more love in order for us to begin to heal our planet. And some of the most, you know, I don't want to say acclaimed, but the most followed gurus, you know, when you go down to what their bottom message is, it really is all about love. Love those that hate you, right? Love those mm-hmm. that do harm to you. Love those that love you back. Love those that take care of you. Love those that you take care of. The whole love the earth, take care of the earth, love the earth, love nature, love animals. I mean, the whole concept, when you look at all those, you know, gurus, the enlightened ones, are the bottom line is the foundation of it is love. And in order to be able to give love, you have to love yourself. You have to start with yourself first. And so you can't give what you don't have. You know, if I want to mm-hmm. give $5, I can't give $5 to the homeless lady if I don't have it, right?
Yeah.
So you can't give what you don't have. And so that's beautiful. Now, are there any spiritual people that you guys follow, any enlightened gurus that you guys follow that help you to stay, you know, connected with the message of, you know, being enlightened and aware in generating positivity and love?
Personally, for me, I mean, I just pretty much finished this week. I have one more chapter left, but Osho is very close to my heart, and I read the Book of Wisdom. It's his, like, seven mind it's like the mind training book. I forget the exact title, but him and his enlightened words have literally changed my life. And also, I do feel very connected to, and I know other people, you know, when I say Jesus, a lot of people think of him in different ways and they have different mm-hmm. ideas of him. And I'm familiar with the, like, Jesus as a yogi in that sort of sense, and how, mm-hmm. you know, just this, technically, like some people say he was this ascended master, kind of like a, like Buddha, and like along those lines of just having these powers that we are all supposed to be capable of having. And
right.
I guess just for me, whether or not he is a real human, a spiritual entity, whatever it is to anyone, you know, it just for me, Jesus, whatever that was for me, he's always been something in my life and has kept me on, kind of like helped me on my path, I guess I could say, for myself.
What about you, Lauren?
I don't have any like particular person or, you know, one person that I look to, because I find it's important to take things from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do like, you know, looking at people from India, just because I feel like their whole message talks about, you know, love.
Right.
I believe his name is Jiddu Krishnamurti or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
But I found like videos and interviews that he did, and I fell in love just because he was talking about how we live in a society that is so motivated by people who only care about themselves and don't look at things from a bigger picture. That's the whole issue here. Is even with our world, the way the world's headed, you know, it's like these people who are in charge of these companies that are, you know, killing and bulldozing trees, not realizing what exactly they're doing, the drilling and stuff. They're not realizing that this is having an impact not only on them or their family, but everyone in the world, the animals, the way the water is. We have people spraying things in our air, changing the way the whole ecosystem works.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like we have to look at things from a bigger perspective. I also, you know, I look at different people from the United States. You know, Oprah's very motivational, Martin Luther King Jr., just people who really fight for love. Anybody who I can take anything from. You don't even have to be someone with a name, but as long as you can teach me something,
right,
or make something, say something that sparks something in my mind, that's all that matters. And it's like Tupac, even, you know, people don't really
right.
look at Tupac as a poet, but majority of his rhymes, he was such an artistic and brilliant. He had such a brilliant mind. Me and Alyssa love Kurt Cobain from the
right.
you know, Nirvana. It's just different people have different messages, and not necessarily do they have to be a big name to get the message across. It's the message itself. It's the message
mm-hmm.
that you receive. That's the important part, not who you get it from, where you get it from, where they're from, how they grew up.
Yeah.
It's the message.
Oh, I love it. I love it. This
yeah.
this brings me to, well, when you mentioned the musicians, the different musicians, it brings me to a beautiful experience that I was able to, you know, share with both of you, you ladies, which was my first adventure to Coachella. And, you know, all the stuff that we're talking about on the show today, listeners, I must say that when I think of an experience of how the millennial generation comes together and how they operate and how they think and how everything is just free flowing. It's different from the generation of the 60s where it was free love and all of that. I would say the millennial generation is more of a free flowing, you know, more looking towards positivity and free, you know, and giving, giving of themselves in a different capacity. So when I think of the event, it was going to Coachella. And at Coachella, it was all these beautiful young people there just flowing in harmony. And, you know, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people listening to different types of genre of music. But everyone was happy and free-flowing. And, you know, the energy was so positive. And someone said, how would you describe your adventure to Coachella? And I said, it was absolutely beautiful, because what it kind of reminded me of is the individual cells within a body. We have hundreds of thousands of cells in our body, and they all operate and generally flow together in a very harmonistic, loving manner, which helps us to be the people we are, healthy and well, for most of the part, right? But when there's some upheaval with one or two or some of the cells within the body, then you have chaos going on, which is reflective in, like, when I look at our society today. Generally speaking, there are more good people on earth than there are bad. But when those bad people act out, that's what we see. When our bad cells go dormant or rampant in our body, we manifest illness and disease. And so when I look at the whole concept of my experience at Coachella and seeing and taking each individual there as an individual cell or entity, just spreading love, the essence and positive energy and the love that flowed at that event was phenomenal. And if we could bottle that and capture that and take that to various parts of the world where there's so much heavy negativity, that energy alone could change the world today. And so
I agree 100%.
You know, would you agree, Alyssa? I mean, it's just,
it was just such a beautiful experience.
And, go ahead.
Oh, Suzanne, I think what you said about just even like music and stuff, if you think about what creates happiness in people, it's when they're hearing something beautiful, looking at something beautiful, feeling something beautiful. And I think that's something that our world has become so into money and how to succeed that the arts are just dying, not dying, but I mean, it's very hard to be quote unquote successful in this world and make money in this world when you're an artist, whether it's a musical artist, a painter, whether you play an instrument, whether you write, whether you sing, whatever it is you do,
right.
This world has made it so difficult for people to create and to be in art and to just express ourselves in positive, loving ways, because that's not always the easiest way to make money. And so
right.
I think that is something that you definitely, the fact that, you know, at the Coachella Music Festival, and that's something I've always loved about it, is seeing everybody in just such good vibrations.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if more of the world could appreciate music and art and things like that, I think the world would be such a more beautiful, like a way more beautiful place.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
yes. You know, and it's funny because at Coachella Music Festival, you get the music from the artists that are on stage. You get the artistic creation of how they perform. There's art around Coachella, you know, art pieces around Coachella. I mean, it's all of that. It's really beautiful. I want to move into now, as we're kind of talking, you know, we're going like global here and getting your perspective on things. Just, you know, real, like in, you know, one or two sentences, explain to me, what is your view of the world and why?
Oh.
And I'm going to give you a little background as to why.
Yeah.
Because the reason I'm asking this question is because most people outside older than the millennial generation say you guys are the entitled generation. You guys, you know, you want to set your own hours when you come into the workplace. You want to do what you want to do. You want to, you know, be able to take as much time off of work as you want to. You want to come in and make a, you know, salary that maybe people have been working there 10 years haven't accomplished yet. You guys want so much and you feel you're entitled to it, and if you don't get it, it's not like you guys kind of pout and, you know, cry about it. And then they all this also say that there's no loyalty, you know, with regards to, you know, people would, you know, get a job and they'd stay there forever. Well, with the millennials, it's like, I'm going to get a job, and, you know, if another opportunity comes, I'm going to take that opportunity. You know, I'm not planning to stay here until I die. I'm not going to die in my chair 30 years later. You're not going to find me. I'm going to take opportunities that move me along my path of bliss much quicker, much, much faster, because I have a goal I want to accomplish, and it is definitely not sitting here at this desk for 30 years. So that's kind of the background of why I'm asking you, now that you have a background of the question is, you know, what is your view of the world and why, based on how people perceive your generation to be?
For me, I think that this is a very, very interesting time in the world and in the universe and in all of space. You know, there's just a lot of things going on energetically that some people know about, some people may not know as much about. But I think right now I view the world as a place where I think that it is not the best, in the best health it can be. And when I say that, I mean as a whole, like as our ecosystem, as humans, as our animals, our water, like our actual planet is not as healthy as it can be and or vibrating as positively as it can. And so, but I think with that, it's not to say that it's a negative thing. I think it's just an evolutionary thing where I think now how I view the world is that we all as humans more than ever need to be connected and know. And I think this is why as a millennial, I think we live our lives kind of sometimes the way we do, because when you are aware of you know, the fact that we are this spirit, this energy that is eternal, and, you know, we're always evolving every day. I think that you have to understand that there's kind of, we're not supposed to live in a society that's necessarily operated by time and control and structure, where people are sometimes not being where they need to be when they need to be there. And I don't believe that time is real, but I believe that timing is everything, because I think that there are places that we need to be at certain times speaking to certain people to help our growth as people. And I think that as millennials, we have these free spirits that, you know, we're guided to being in certain places at certain times in each moment. Mm-hmm. That I think it's hard for us to sometimes, because we are so connected and free in a sense, I think that there's that rebellious kind of attitude that people misunderstand. Because I think people look at us and they, because of the way the world has been structured, especially with the way that our parents have grown up, where you're brought up to believe that you have to work, you got to pay your rent, pay your bills, you got to have a family, and then that's your life. Well,
right.
I think that we are searching for something so much deeper, so much more meaningful, and not to say that I don't think anything's good or bad, because I think that's just subjective. I think it's just where we are right now, and I think it's just the way that we're going to grow. Is I think people need to understand.
So you think that it's more of an evolutionary process, and as, you know, I want to say river running freely, it's, you guys are here to help the evolutionary process of, I want to say, planet Earth, so to speak,
yeah.
But you're free from the constraints that has bounded generations prior to you. You're here to be free flowing like the river, because
exactly.
The evolutionary process has to, you know, migrate through the world, and you guys are here to help that happen. Now, Lauren, what would you say, what is your view of the world and why?
To make things simple, I believe as a generation and where we are in today, that we must truly free our minds from the social conditioning that we've received since birth. We need to learn to embrace one another as human beings, as, you know, brothers and sisters, regardless of where we're from, and as love. And once we do that, we'll truly become free. We'll truly become free thinkers, and we'll be able to think for ourselves rather than relying on people who have a position of power in government, and will truly be able to change a system that ultimately sets us up to fail. We truly just have to free ourselves from everything that we've been taught from the time that we were children, because they don't teach you the importance of self-love in school. They don't teach you that you need to love yourself, and that's how that's going to teach you to love and respect others. Because when you love yourself, you don't feel the need to, you know, say hateful things to other people because of their appearance or things that they can't change. We're such a generation of people who are constantly nitpicking and pointing out others' flaws, but we all have our own flaws. And I think that once the world changes the way that the system is, and by system, I mean education system, political system, prison system, we have more people in prison than any other country, you know, right now. Like, we have to change the way that we think and the way that the things that are taught to us are taught to us. And I truly think that once we do that and we teach the importance of what really matters, not what they think should matter, but what really matters in this lifetime, we'll become a generation of people totally different. And we'll look back at, you know, generation of 2016 and be like, wow, why were they living life that way? Why couldn't
right.
they be happy? Why couldn't they just love each other? It's such a it sounds so simple, and that's the crazy
right.
thing. Right. Happiness and love could be the most simplest concept, but we make
if we
them
just
so
embrace it. And so I think you're saying basically, you know, we'll look back, you guys will look back and be able to say, okay, why were we like that then? Because we've definitely evolved to a different place now. And it looks like that's your hope for the world. Now, you guys, your generation is known as a very materialistic generation as well. And you two seem to be not like that. What would you say, you know, just give like one or two sentences to those out there listening that are caught up in the materialism of the millennial generation, so to speak. What would you say to them if you had an opportunity to say something that could potentially change their world, change their life for the better? What would you say to those people that are caught up in that materialism, in that materialistic world? Lauren, you go first.
I would say that don't listen to the media, to entertainment, to TV shows that they're showing, because it's all a part of an agenda. Everything that they're showing you is all a part of something that they want you to become. You must separate yourself from that because that's not real. And if you're constantly searching for happiness in something or someone, you will never be happy. You will never truly be happy. You have to be happy from within. Nothing outside things will make you happy for the moment, but it won't last forever. And that's the problem, is people think once we get all this money, we'll be happy and we'll have all these things. But we have people today who, millionaires, billionaires, have all these cars, houses in different places and still aren't happy. And I think that alone should say something, that, you know, money does not really buy you happiness. It may buy you happiness for the moment, but that's not true happiness.
Great. Wonderful. And Alyssa, what would be your message to those that are caught up in the materialism, the materialistic world?
It's actually worked out perfect because I have this little thing that I just want to read. It's from my book the other day, and it's very short, but it's the message that I would say. And it's from that Osho book. It says, remember that the ordinary man is living a very abnormal life because his values are upside down. Money is more important than meditation. Logic is more important than love. Mind is more important than heart. Power over others is more important than power over one's own being. And mundane things are more important than finding some treasures which death cannot destroy. And I think that's my message that I just want to say, because I really think that once our society lives for what is so much bigger and so much more important than what is three-dimensional and right in front of them, they will find literally happiness for eternity in that.
And wow.
I think that's, yeah.
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, because that is really powerful words that you shared in good message, not for just the millennial generation, but for all of us to follow, because some of that, it's the words are so true. You know, money has become, you know, so important to people. And Lauren, you said you get all this money and you're still unhappy. You're happy for the moment, but then you're looking for something else and something else and something else. So you never, and you're never satisfied. You're never able to be happy because you can't be, because you're so busy looking for it outside of yourself, and happiness starts within. So I want to ask you, we're going to just shift just a little bit, and gosh, we're coming up a little bit on our time, so we might go just over a little bit because you guys have so much to say, and I think it's really important, and it is really going to help people to understand your generation. This next question I want to ask you is basically, you know, each generation has had a purpose. For example, like in the 50s and in the 60s, in the 50s, it was, you know, just, you know, kind of stepping out a little bit from the norm that was happening. You know, it was not too long after the Great Depression ended in World War II. So there was a little thing happening with, you know, women beginning to take jobs outside the home and things of that nature, but, you know, still was a lot of stay-at-home moms. And then in the 60s, it was freedom of expression, free love, and civil rights. The civil rights movement took place. In the 70s, it was equality, cultural expression. In the 80s, it was disco fever and sexual freedom and expression, and so on. In the 90s, it's all about technology, you know, everywhere. Let's improve and let's really bombard the world with technology. So I want to say the 90s was all about technology. What do you believe is the message or purpose that your generation as a whole is going to leave with us as we proceed forward in time. Just like the 60s, it was all about freedom of expression, free love, and civil rights. What do you think your message or your purpose for your generation is, that when generations beyond you look back and they can say the millennial generation was about what?
I would say that the millennial generation would be known for freeing ourselves from the indoctrination of the bigger agenda that they have for us. We're smart. I think we're the smartest generation. No offense to you, Rochelle, but I think that we have so much more information at our hands, and because of technology and because of the internet, people are actually able to look at things from their smartphones. We don't have to go to the library to rent a book about spirituality or to rent a book about knowledge of self or anything, any of those important topics that, you know, shape our lives. We can literally just search on the internet and find what we're looking for. Not necessarily answers, but you can definitely find what you're looking for in different perspectives. Whereas if you look from a book, you're getting the perspective of just one person. With the internet, you have comments, you have shares, people sharing their own perspective on how they may feel, which most of the time may be different from how you're feeling, but that's the great thing about it. And I feel like our generation embraces that. We just have to truly free our minds. I feel like that's been – I've heard that since I was 16 years old. People always, free your minds, Bob Marley. You know, our generation is, you know, really becoming this hippie generation that is really trying to promote self-love. We're such a generation that's trying to be free and truly trying to live fulfilling and happy lives. But when we have, you know, media and the entertainment industry and all these things that are just outside forces that have an impact on how we think and what we think is important, that takes people back, and because they're in their comfort zone. But once we start stepping out of our comfort zone and realizing these things, we truly are free individuals, and we live in a free world. And I think people are starting to realize that we can truly do whatever we want to do. We can set our minds to whatever. The universe isn't going to stop us. The universe puts us exactly where we're supposed to be and puts people in our lives first. And people just need to realize that. They need to open up their minds and really see, you know, what is life about? It's not about who has the most money, about, you know, what you do for a living. It's about what you do to change the world and what you do to make yourself happy, to live a fulfilling life, a life that has purpose.
Love it. So you would say that your generation, I wrote down some things, is a generation of, I would say the smart generation, the generation freedom from societal constraints, and the free mind generation. I mean, those are, and the self-love generation. So, you know, as the 60s was the generation of freedom of expression, you guys are the generation of freedom from the societal constraints. As the 70s was, you know, the generation of cultural expression, you guys are the generation of self-love. As the, you know, 80s was the disco fever and sexual freedom generation, you guys are the smart generation and the generation of the free minds. So I like that. I mean, I think, you know, I think that says a lot. What would you say, Alyssa, if you had anything to add, what would you say with regards to what do you believe the message or the purpose of your generation is as we proceed forward in time?
I really think that there's like two big messages that our generation is like really impacting on our planet is basically just that we really have to go within and find that light to get to that freedom. And I think our generation is really learning how to depend on ourselves and really work through ourselves to kind of, learn really who we are and what we're here for. And I think that overall, we're just giving more of a purposeful meaning to what we're trying to do here. Like, I really believe that our generation is not a generation that wants to waste any of our time and just do things to do them. Like, we're very much so very independent, a little rebellious, but just determined to find happiness and love and peace. And I think that we are lovers. I think that we really, really, really have promoted that to the world, that we really, just to kind of wake up, like for people to really wake up. Like, I think that is what our generation is bringing most of, about going within, finding your strength, and waking up.
I love it. So I say, you know, you say that you guys are the generation of purpose, and you're the generation of determination. You're the generation of waking up. So I think that people listening will have a better understanding as to why you guys do some of the things you do and the way you act and the way you behave. And it's not like what so many people are used to, is because you guys are a generation that is, you know, purposeful, you're determined, you're waking up, you're about self-love and freedom from constraints.
Stepping out of the box.
Stepping out of the box, you're a smart generation because you have so access to so much information available to you right at your fingertips, which other generations didn't have prior to you. And you're the generation of a free mind, free your mind, and, you know, have that love within yourself so that you can go out and love others. Now, we are coming down to the show. And we're going a little bit over time, but I do want to ask you ladies a couple more questions, just with regards to, you know, how you guys, you know, think about things, with regards to your own physical health and well-being. So, you know, you're this generation and you've got a lot going on, and, you know, and you guys are ceasing to break the norms that have been the norms for so long. Not that they've been the correct norms. It's just that's how it's been, and no one's shook it up to change the imperfections of what we perceive as the norms today. And you guys are the generation that is like, that's not the norm for me, and I'm not going to embrace it. And I don't care how many times you tell me, Mama, that I need to embrace it and I just need to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to embrace it because that is not the norm for me. Instead of doing what we're told to do, we're going to question things, and we're not going to always be so willing to do things because we're told to do them if it doesn't make sense to us to do them. So we're the generation of question, and we're the generation of understanding and reason. So with regards to that, how do you make sure you take care of yourself, and what do you ladies do to stay healthy? Because you guys are also the generation that has woken up to understanding how our food source has been contaminated, how the food that I grew up on when I was a kid in the 60s and 70s is completely different of the food that you guys grew up on in the 90s and, you know, the millennials. So you guys are, you know, awakening to all of that. You know, there's more vegetarians and vegans and, you know, people really looking to just, you know, gluten-free, really looking to take really good care of themselves by taking paying proper attention to what they put into their bodies. Your generation is definitely, definitely ahead of the curve, because my generation is stuck in the food that they think is the same as the food we used to get, and it's not. So how do you guys take care of yourself? How do you stay healthy?
For me, I think, like, just to make it kind of simple, I really think that when people can understand our bodies and that we are a carbon-based body and that the things that go in it should be carbon-based as well so that they can break down fully, that will explain the problem to all of our diseases, all of our food, our unhealthy food, the unhealthy air. If you think about it, there's chemicals in the air, there's chemicals in our food, there's chemicals in our water. All of these chemicals cannot be broken down. There's chemicals, there's a lot of chemicals, you know, and hormones and stuff. And I think that's where the vegetarian, vegan stuff comes in with the meat and the dairy products. And so I think to make it very simple for me, I'm not perfect, and, you know, I ate meat my whole life, and I'm newly a vegetarian since last October, mm-hmm. and I just really believe that if you can just make a conscious effort every day to try to always put into your body the best things that you can, mm-hmm. and to not settle for that, you know, usually organic is like a $1 to $2 difference. And I know sometimes that that does make that difference for people. Like, I'm a college student. Like, I struggle a lot with money, but I have promised myself and my body that if it ever came down to it, I'm going to always try to get the best thing for myself that is the healthiest for myself, whether it's the food I'm drinking, eating, the water I'm drinking, the products I'm putting on my body. I just think that the less chemicals that we can have in our environment, the better, like for our overall health.
So you basically, your focus on how you stay healthy and well, so you try to eat the best food possible that you can afford. You try to stay away from as many chemicals as possible, so you pay attention to what you're buying to put on your body,
yeah.
because lotions and things of that nature contains a huge amount of chemicals and toxins that people
mm-hmm.
don't even realize.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just try to have a positive state of mind with regards to all of that. What about you, Lauren? What do you do to take care of yourself and to make sure you stay healthy?
I'm definitely not going to lie. I am not the best at, you know, trying. I do make healthy choices when I can, but I'm definitely the type of person where if I want a burger, I'm going to go get a burger. I definitely take care of myself in the sense that, you know, I don't put anything in my body that I know is terrible for me, and I'm not one to judge. So, you know, like, I'm not vegetarian or vegan myself just because I'm already pretty small, and I know that limiting my choices right now is, it's just not plausible for me right now. I'm in the transition of moving to 5 hours away. I have to, you know, do what's right for me, and, you know, I'm not going to stress myself out about eating right, because if I were to turn vegan or vegetarian tomorrow, I already don't eat a lot because I'm so busy all the time that it just slips my mind. So mm-hmm. I try to make conscious decisions by drinking a lot more water. If I have the choice of a salad and something else, I'm going to choose the salad. But it's all about choice. It's all about what makes you happy. What's right for someone else isn't necessarily going to be what's right for you. All of our bodies are different, and I feel like if you know that, you know, something's not sitting right in your stomach or something makes you feel a certain way, then you definitely shouldn't be putting that in your body. But there's just different documentaries that I feel like, you know, have opened my eyes up to the way the meat industry is and the way that, you know, just different things on Netflix. So if you have a chance, I would recommend that you watch Cowspiracy on Netflix. Also, Food Inc. There's a bunch of documentaries on Netflix that, you know, tell you a lot about the food industry and what they're putting in our food. And after watching those, honestly, I can say that I, you know, told myself that I'm going to do my absolute best to stay away from whatever I can or eating grass-fed things rather than things that are pumped with antibiotics to make them bigger. Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen the documentary. So I definitely try to make conscious decisions, but I'm not going to lie and say that I'm the greatest eater on the planet, because I'm not.
So you ladies, you know, you try to be conscious of what you put into your body. Okay, gotcha. And you're Lauren, like, if I want to, I'm not vegan or vegetarian, so if I want a burger, I'm going to get a burger, but I'm going to get the best burger that I can possibly afford or whatever.
Exactly.
At the time.
I'm not going to go to McDonald's.
Now, I also know that, you know, both of you ladies were athletes. Lauren, you were a dancer for 15 plus years. And Alyssa, you were an athlete. You played volleyball and stuff. So
mm-hmm.
I also know that you have the component of, you know,
exercise.
Keeping yourself healthy and well by exercise. And I always like to share with people, I'm like, the double E's is the most difficult thing that people can do, but it is the most beneficial thing that you can do to stay young, healthy, and active and look absolutely fabulous, fit, and fine, which is eating the best foods that you could possibly eat and exercising. And I know you ladies exercise. I know you guys go for a hike.
Yeah.
I know you guys go do yoga. I know you guys, you know, also take care of your mind with, you know, meditation.
Yeah.
And basically what, you know, we're here to, was really to hear, learn about is you guys do all the stuff that, you know, that, you know, gurus for centuries have been trying to teach people to do as to helping them stay healthy and well in a holistic manner. You guys really do take care of yourself in a, you know, in a holistic manner. You have a different way of thinking and a different way of showing up in the world. And now you've given people a little bit more insight and enlightenment as to why the millennial generation shows up like they do and what you guys believe is the purpose for your generation. And that helps people to understand a lot about, okay, so when I encounter a millennial, I already know that they're free, they want freedom from constraints, and their purpose is, you know, they're here for a purpose, and they have determination. They're waking up. So now when I interview this person, I'm going to interview them in a manner that is going to go along with what I'm going to try to obtain is the best information out of them. But I'm going to ask the right questions now, where they will be able to articulate the best answers, or you know what, you know, just dealing with your generation,
better understanding of us,
a better understanding of how to approach and deal with you guys, and not to be so apprehensive or judgmental or thinking you guys are entitled, because it's just the way you're thinking based on what's going on with your divine generation right now. Okay, so last question, ladies, and I'm so sorry we're over time, and I really do appreciate it, but there's just so much good information that you guys are sharing that I think is very important for the world to hear and to know about. The last question I have for you is, if you could share something with the listeners that you believe that they need to hear that could potentially change their lives for the better right now at this moment in time, it would be your nugget of gold, your imprint, that you're leaving on the listeners right now that they could take immediately and go forth into their life and have it change their life profoundly, what would you say? And let's go with Alyssa first.
If I could say anything, I would say that I believe that we all are so special and so powerful beyond what our mental capacity has been allowed to even understand. And that if I could, you know, tell anybody anything ever, it's just that you have always been enough and you are always enough. And this society will always try and tell you that you are not pretty enough, not good enough, not smart enough, not capable enough, not competent enough, but I want everybody that I ever come in contact with to know that they really are enough, and that's including myself, because sometimes I think that's why I say this to everyone, or why this is my message, because I have really struggled with that enoughness in my life with myself, and I think that what I have learned is that we are so loved beyond what we know, that once we can just shine and be who we are and live according to ourselves and without allowing anyone else to bring negativity our way, I think that we, and I truly believe that every single person on this earth was made to shine. And so if I could tell anybody anything, it would just be to go and shine and bring light and love in any way you can in every moment. And I think that's really just, that's my message.
Perfect. So you guys out there listening, bring light and love and shine all the time and know that you are enough just the way you are. Okay, and Lauren, what would you share with those that are listening, something, your nugget of gold that could potentially change their lives for the better?
I would just say that, you know, one day, just like me, you know, everyone's going to die.
Lauren, can you speak up just a little bit? Okay, perfect.
Okay. So,
good.
I would say that, you know, everyone's going to die in this lifetime. And at this point, we need to recognize, like, what do you want to be remembered for? What did you do to make the world a better place? Like, what is your true purpose here? You know, we all die, but only a few of us are truly living. We were meant for more than what we do as a day job or, you know, what we do for a living. We're an internal being, and we're meant to inspire and to help the world. And I feel like a lot of people, you know, don't don't know that, and they don't think that they're special, like Alyssa said. They don't think that they have a purpose, and your purpose is to inspire. You want to make sure that when you die, people look back at you and were like, wow, she left a lasting imprint for her family or for her friends, or she was remembered as this person who always kept her word, someone who always positive and was such a light to be around. So I think that we just have to embrace the fact that, you know, no one's perfect in this world. And as many people as they try and tell us that who may have these qualities that may seem perfect, no one's perfect. Everyone has flaws. But it's how you truly embrace your flaws and turn them into something. And you want to make sure that when you are living, that you're not only living for yourself, but you're living for the world, because we're all connected. We're all one. Everything that you do, every action has a counteraction, and what you do affects someone else. So make sure that when you do something, you do it out of love and you do it out of respect. You don't do it out of separation. You don't do it out of hate, out of jealousy. Make sure everything that you do comes out of love and comes from a good place in your heart, and you will find happiness.
Beautiful. Wonderful. Well, thank you, ladies, for those wonderful words of wisdom and more insight into a millennial generation. This is how millennials are embracing the world and living a fulfilling life. And it's been a pleasure to talk with both of you ladies, because, like I said, you've enlightened us about how your generation thinks, where you guys are coming from, what you believe in, and how you perceive the world. And so it's just been phenomenal. And I would like to thank all of you out there for listening today. I really hope that Lauren and Alyssa have really given you insight as to how the millennial generation thinks and why they do the things that they do, and help you to have a better relationship with the millennials that you may come across or that are in your life, because now you have a little bit better understanding of where they're coming from and how they are presenting themselves here in the world and why they're showing up the way they show up. So again, thank you all of you for listening. Thank you to our fabulous guests, Lauren Alexis Marie Lawson and Alyssa Kelly. And as always, I'm wishing you peace to your mind, wellness to your body, and tranquility to your spirit. This is the Queen of Feeling Fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson, and thank you for tuning in to Blissful Living. Until next week, be phenomenally well, and I will see you next week or on the next show. Take good care for now. Bye.